You can do whatever you want, Tim.
I want to turn into an elephant.
All right.
Woohoo! I exist. I'm there.
It's so
little. I'm heard.
It's fine.
It's just the Olivia breathing stream
me breathing
podcast.
Me. And that'll be our biggest hit, and we're like, oh boy, that's weird.
It just...
But what do? Do we ignore it? Do we do it every week? Do we take you on tour? What do we do with the Olivia breathing podcast? Cliff breathing podcast. That's a different crowd.
All right. You look so tired.
I really am. I fell asleep before I came here, which is why I stopped and got the coffee. Thankfully, the woman in the drive-thru ahead of me really was stupid, so my rage really went up. And
that woke you up.
Then so now I'm just all piss and vinegar. Let's this is how it starts. It's just casual conversation. I'm not even going to edit it out. Hello, people. Got real angry at a lady. Nice lady.
We're here. What else should you expect? You're listening to this.
Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls. This is a podcast about comics and other things. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about some other things. Nerd things.
Maybe.
Dumb things. Dumber the better.
Yeah.
I'm Tim.
I'm Olivia.
You are.
I'm Cliff.
Oh, you are too.
I am. And you're Tim.
I am Tim. That's me.
You're here.
I am. I've arrived, some might say.
Awesome.
Yep. So we are, by the time this goes up, very close to Christmas, 2019, for you in a bubble. And the holidays. You guys like the holidays. You guys are fun holiday people, right?
Sure.
That's the spirit I was hoping for.
They're there.
Yeah.
They're there.
This year's a little different.
Yeah.
We're not doing like a big holiday party like we have in years past.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a break from it.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea sometimes.
So we're going to Atlantic City on Christmas Eve.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Is there a special thing going on down there? You're just like, I'm going to win $1,000.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Right. Usually there's really nobody there.
Sure.
Like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. But like everything, like not everything, but like all the casinos are still open.
Of course.
But like there's like nobody in there. Except for a lot of Asian people. Because they usually do a like a show. Like a special,
that's Shen Yun.
Like a something like that show.
That's kind of fun.
Because I remember I used to work. I used to work at the Taj, and they would do something like that on Thanksgiving and on Christmas.
And they probably clean up, don't they?
Yeah.
I bet you.
It also kind of saves us, because on Christmas Day, we're seeing the Star Wars movie in the IMAX theater.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So what are your anticipations for the Star Wars movie, which is definitely out by the time this goes up? So
I hope it...
sucks.
Just has,
say sucks.
Like,
let's get the controversy going.
I feel like it's, I don't know. I feel like it's not going to meet expectations. But I don't even know what my expectations are at this point. Because like, I just want things to just, maybe not necessarily be like wrapped up neatly in a way that is okay. But I don't even know what that means.
Better than the last movie?
Yeah, like...
There's my hot take. The last movie was garbage.
Wow.
I kind of want... I don't know.
Well, see, I think it's really good that you said that, because I don't know what my expectations are, and I definitely felt that way. Like, I know we all wanted this to be, like, the most amazing thing, and you can debate whether it is or it isn't. Some people love it, some people hate it.
It's not.
It's fairly divisive, though. People are one way or the other, for the most part. I lean towards the middle. I liked, what was it, 7, where they came back?
I enjoyed, the first one.
And I liked Rogue One a lot.
I liked Rogue One.
Yeah.
And Last Jedi was okay. The more I get away from it, the less I like it. It doesn't put me into, like, fits of rage. But I also think back to when I went and saw Phantom Menace. And I was like, well, it was a thing I watched. But, like, it's clearly not for me anymore. And I think back and I'm like, okay, well, what if I took a young kid who's, like, I don't know, 14, 15, and I said, watch A New Hope, and I don't tell him anything about it. It's probably too slow for them. It's very, like, these movies are built for different people, I feel. They're playing up to different generations, almost.
So, like, I think I've talked about this before, but I had never seen the original trilogy, like, when I was little.
Right.
So, last year, we bought the set. We bought a box set of them.
It was cheap. It was, like, the, like, remastered versions where they added in those like really a bad weird, CGI stuff.
A bunch of weird CGI that like blatantly sticks out.
Getting past like the bad CGI, like, I don't think that any of those movies are as fantastic as everyone makes them out to be. Myself, like from when I watched them. But I can understand like it was something very different than anything else that had been out before it. So if you're into like that kind of sci-fi thing, I can understand why it's so important to those
right.
people that have it as like the holy grail of, like, or like a holy grail style of movie.
Sure.
I don't think it deserves that, but it's not like a bad movie.
Right. I think it's definitely that. I think it's, you know, it did for sci-fi what not a lot of things had done that correct, I guess.
Right.
Because you might say, like, well, 2001 Space Odyssey is pretty awesome. Like, yeah, it is, but, like, it didn't do what Star Wars did as a whole. It did some things good, and right. it will always be revered. And other movies like that, Black Hole, Disney's Black Hole, that movie's awesome. It's probably on Disney Plus. Go watch it. I'm sure it's outdated and awesome. There's all kinds of things like that. But as far as this new trilogy, the trilogy itself, I'm, like, in the middle on. But, like, Rogue One was great, so that's, like... I think what Disney's building here is great, though. Their comics and everything tying in, their cartoons. Like, the comics have had references to the cartoons, to Rebels, to Clone Wars, to all these things that have come before. They are building... If you love Star Wars, they are building the biggest connected universe between all their media, and I think that's amazing. So I hope it's good.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as, like, I guess the both of you. I don't really know what my expectations are for this movie. Like, I hope it's good.
Be nice.
Like, because, you know, I've never gone into a movie hoping it was bad.
Yeah, that's weird, right?
But, like, I don't know. Like, I'm keeping, like, my expectations, I guess, reserved. Where so, like, that way I'm not as let down as I was in the last one.
Keep them really low.
You could only go up.
You'll be pleasantly surprised, hopefully.
Because I know after, I mean, Phantom Menace is the one I go back to because I didn't bother seeing 2 and 3 in the theaters. And I didn't actually watch them until way later, because I was just so bleh on it. But Phantom Menace I saw in the theater, the hype for that was astronomical.
When did Phantom Menace come out?
Like 2099, 2001, somewhere in that range.
Right, right.
Very early 2000s, very late 99. I think it was like 99, I want to say.
There was a lot of hype. And I remember, like, we went with my family. Like, we saw, like, each one as they came out.
Mm-hmm.
It was a whole big thing.
I don't remember seeing Phantom Menace in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know if I saw it at home before I saw episode 2.
Right.
I'm pretty sure I saw episode 2 in the theater, and I know I saw the third one in the theater.
It's, like, pretty to look at. Like, all I can think about is Darth Maul was cool, but, like...
Right.
Like, I wasn't caring about trade embargoes, although I joke I love trade embargoes.
Right.
Midichlorians and all that crap.
Like, I don't think his movies are great, and, like, they're definitely, like, the second and third one aren't good. Like, the third one's definitely not good. Like,
that's my least favorite one.
I really like that fight scene up until Anakin tries to jump 400 feet instead of just off of the thing. Like, I think that fight scene's awesome. Like, the whole way through, like, the Obi-Wan Anakin fight at the end, I think is great. Like, I like how, like, they're evenly matched, and it's just more of, like, the person with more experience is the one that ultimately wins.
Right.
So, like, I really enjoyed that part of it, but I can accept the movie's bad.
Yeah. Well, we like bad movies here, so...
Yes.
It's kind of our bag.
But, like, not that kind of bad.
Not bad when we want it to be good.
Yeah.
I've started rewatching The Matrix.
Okay. In anticipation for the fourth one?
Sort of. I watched the first Matrix just because it was something to put on.
Sure.
Like, I really love that movie. Like, the first one is so good.
I saw that in the theater, too.
That's another one I don't know if I saw in the theater,
mm-hmm.
but like that's like the 99-2000 like same time like that time era. Period.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I was going to go see that when I was I would have been 9 or 10 then.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if my parents would have taken me to see that. I know I saw the second and third ones in the theater just because I was a little older, and like the first one still I think is great and I still think holds up as a good movie. And then I just watched the second one yesterday. We watched that. I had that on. That is worse than I remember it.
I'm sure.
And, like, I hated the third one, leaving it.
Yep.
And I imagine that's even worse than I remember it.
So, I love the first one. I wish it was just the first one and we were done.
And I think it was, that's where they meant it to mm-hmm. be. But so, everyone wanted more because it was so good.
It's our fault. Never listen to your audience is what I've preached here today. Gosh. I think we lived by that motto. But yeah, I saw the first and second one in the theater. Second one, I loathed. I hated it. And I didn't go see the third one in the theater because of it. When I watched them all again, and I watched them all more or less back-to-back because they're long when you add them all up, the second one didn't bother me as bad. It's just, as a whole, it was bad. It felt bad as a whole.
Yeah, because the third, like, after watching the third one, you realize the second one isn't that bad.
Well, it actually was doing something. It's like Empire, where it has a bunch of cliffhangers, and you just don't... But with Matrix Reloaded or whatever, you don't realize how many there are, I think.
Yeah.
Until you get into that third one.
And there's just so much exposition that doesn't make much sense. Like,
you just really want Lawrence Fishburne to just keep talking at you.
Well, no, you have like the, oh God, what was the one guy? The French guy who just rambles on and on and on and on. And then it goes into like the computer code with like the orgasm cake.
Yep.
And it's like, what? And then trying to explain some of it to you because... You've said you don't remember seeing it?
It's all right, so The Matrix has been one of those movies where it's just eluded me all these years. Like, I've seen bits and pieces of it, and, like, I thought I knew what it was about, and then, like, I'll see another part of it, and I'm like, okay, I have no idea what's going on. And so, like, he explained it to me, and, like, okay, yeah. I have a better understanding of what it
that's
was.
Definitely not the one to watch in pieces. Like, right. You benefit from watching it. From beginning to end,
like,
for sure.
It's like, yeah, that would be, yeah, probably the worst movie to watch in bits and pieces.
Yeah, it's up there.
But yes, I am excited for the anticipation of Keanu Reeves Day.
Yes.
Because John Wick 4 and Matrix 4 both come out on the same day.
So that's a weird decision, right?
I'm just going to go to...
Obviously on purpose.
I'm going to see both of them in the same day.
Which I think is what they want, but like, what do you think? Do you think... John Wick does better?
Yes. No.
No.
I think Matrix 4 will do better because everyone will have forgotten how awful the third movie is.
Nostalgia.
And really how useless the second movie is. But it's like, oh, it's The Matrix. And everyone just remembers what the first one did. Like,
right.
It changed so many things. So I think the hype for that is more than the hype for John Wick because John Wick's more recent. Like you said, the nostalgia.
The nostalgia.
Effect.
John Wick's been so good. So, like...
Was John Wick considered a success as far as box office?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like a huge success?
Yes.
Okay.
I think the second or third one did almost $1 billion.
Well, that sounds right. I still haven't seen the third one.
It's good.
Yeah, I gotta get on that.
It's on Netflix now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I'll watch it when I go home. Done.
The first 15 minutes, every time I watch it, I laugh my ass off.
Yeah?
Because of how over the top it is. Like, it's so nice. John Wicky, that like...
Ah, John Wicky!
It's just great. Like, how can we get him to beat 35 guys when he's trapped in a building? Well, let's just make it an antiques weapons store.
Oh, nice. Nice. So they threw a little raid redemption at the beginning of this movie?
Yeah.
That's funny. Hey, why not?
And then I really like it because, like, the main antagonist that he fights against played the nephew of the guy that ran... Japanese Iron Chef. He did the American Iron Chef.
Okay.
That guy is like the main bad guy that he fights.
That's kind of awesome.
So, but the movie's great. So I'm really excited for 4.
Nice.
I wasn't sure how I felt about it. After seeing 3, it's like, I definitely want more.
I think even if the fourth one is mediocre, it'll be okay. But just because it's so action-focused and like,
right.
You really don't need a story. Like,
follow the formula.
Just more of the action and that. Like,
this is Fast and Furious out of the car.
Well,
exactly.
I think the first two have a good story.
Especially the first one.
Yes. Well, that the story was out of nowhere.
Right.
My issue... I think the third one is the worst of the three.
Which doesn't mean it's bad.
Because they start to build on, like, the world.
Right.
I don't want that.
No, we just want fighting.
I don't care that the coins mean something... I don't need to know what they're worth or how they work or
right.
why the Continental everywhere is like a safe haven. I don't care about that. I just want to see the action through the whole movie with this shoestring of a story that actually makes sense.
So let me ask you guys something. What is the one thing, if you could fantasy cast in this movie, what's the thing, or write, or whatever, what's the thing that would make you most excited to go see this movie if you could just throw something different in there?
John Wick 4 or Matrix 4?
John Wick 4. Something different that you're just like, I want him to do this because it's eyeball porn and I would love it. It could be something like that, or you're like, I want him to fall in love, and she turns out to be like this psycho killer. And
no,
like,
I don't
like,
want
to.
What do
you
that. Want?
You don't. What would? Because you said the coins in the story was added in or expanded on because you have to in a way,
but it takes away from it.
So what would be something good or fun?
I think good would just be going back to like the first one. Like you understood the story, of the first one. These people wronged his his dying wife and his gift.
Yeah.
That's all there's his motivation. Right. You figure out that he's a badass because everyone in all the mobs is terrified of just his name.
Right.
So it's like, oh.
They're like, what happened?
Right.
They hurt John Wick's dog. Oh, crap.
All
right.
Right. Like, there's all the motivation you understood.
The selling of that was brilliant.
Yeah.
If I had to think about it.
I know. I sprung it on you.
I want Donnie Yen to show up.
There you go. That's a good idea. Something like that.
Donnie Yen to show up as like another one of his friends that he meets somewhere.
Star power. That's like the Fast and Furious formula. Like just throw in The Rock. Throw in Jason Statham.
Just because Fast and Furious gets a little more watered down every time we do it doesn't mean it's a bad formula.
I like those movies.
I don't. But that's fine.
Although
I want to see Hobbs and Shaw.
That was so ridiculous.
Yes, that's why I want to watch it.
Right.
Like I enjoy those movies because like all the cars are neat to look at.
Sure.
And, like, it's just fun watching them all harass each other and silly, ridiculous shit happens.
So here's what my fantasy booking is for John Wick 4.
Wait. Before you say yours, right. I had a thought.
Okay.
Maybe if he's on, like, a runaway bus again.
So you harken back to Keanu roles from the past?
Steve.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I don't want him to force lightning a robot, though. Like in Matrix 2 and 3.
I don't know how you would reference the Matrix without him doing something completely bonkers.
Oh, he needs a crossbow gun.
Well, they may reference the Matrix. He said guns, lots of guns.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, he should, I don't know.
If he had a scene on a bus, would be amazing.
Yeah, just, it's like, oh my god, this bus won't go below 55.
I really need to get, this is my stop.
That movie was fun. Now that I think about it, it's not too swift, but that movie was fun.
Yeah.
It put Sandra Bullock on the map. Who would have thought? She's just driving a bus the whole time. What I would do for John Wick 4 to make it fun is something similar to what Olivia said and how you said bring in somebody new. My bring somebody in new is not somebody you ever consider for an action genre, and that's why I think it would work. Alex Winter, the guy who plays Bill in Bill and Ted.
Is he like the big bad?
He's
the big bad who has goons underneath him that does the fighting. He could have a monocle and pet a cat. I don't give a shit. Yeah.
So make him a Claw from Inspector Gadget?
He could be Dr. Claw. Why not? Why not? Get at me.
That could be like John Wick 5.
And then Sandra Bullock should show up too.
I mean, if you're going to go that silly, yes, let's do it. Why not, right?
Yeah. John Wick 4 would have to be so bad to turn me off from a fifth movie.
Right.
Like, it would have to do everything wrong.
Recast Keanu halfway through.
Like, if all he does is, like, pet puppies, like, it would still be a good movie.
That would be good. I love the interview before John Wick 3. It's him there being attacked by a bunch of puppies. Mm-hmm. And he misses half the questions because he's just having fun petting the puppies. Like, I can relate to that.
That is pretty great.
Like, if I put you in a room and was like, Tim, answer all these questions, but we're going to put 20 puppies around you. You wouldn't answer any of the questions.
You wouldn't even be in that room to me. I'd just be on the floor with puppies.
Right. But for, like, Matrix 4, I don't even know what to expect.
So do you feel what they should do is try to end the story again, or...
And this is one of those things, I never understood how the third one ended. Was it a reboot, or did they win? Because I feel like the ending is ambiguous.
A little bit. It's kind of, what do you think it is kind of thing. It's like Inception has a similar kind of end.
Right. Like, is it, are we on the seventh or eighth iteration of the Matrix now? Or is it life outside of, like, rebuilding the world?
You could interpret it either way. And I just kind of took it as, I don't care, because I was so bored to tears. Not because it was bad or it wasn't a good, big, wonderful idea. I didn't care about the journey.
Right.
You give me a great ending to an awful two-hour movie, I'm not going to tell you it's a good movie.
Right.
You know? I don't know. So there.
Okay. So
ooh, Olivia's hot takes.
Knowing that, like, I never really understood the movie or understood what was going on. I feel like, so take this with a grain of salt.
All the salt. So do it. Do it.
I feel like maybe in the fourth one, they're going to keep expanding that universe and then just make it into more than what it is. Like, maybe they're going to go outside of Neo. Like, it's not like just him. They're going to focus on other things, other characters.
But none of the other characters mattered. Well, and they made that abundantly clear in all three movies.
So I guess they'd have to make somebody else be like the number two, or debatably the number one. Like, is the, that your plot?
New, like a
the
new Neo, son of Neo or something.
Son of Neo, the returning. I like it. Maybe, maybe. Do you go that kind of route? The Matrix is kind of weird. Like, Keanu's going to look older. What are you going to do about that?
Right.
Do you just CGI to make him
marginally
look
older?
Marginally, yeah. Right. I mean, he looks amazing. I'm not saying that.
No, I think he. I think it's fine. Like, if he looks older, like, maybe that's the thing. Like, they won.
He's, so he aged outside of the Matrix.
Right, and he's still the one, like, fending the robots off, but he's getting weaker.
Sure. So we need a new number one?
Yeah.
That's fine. That's probably what the plot is. We lose, and there's four more sequels. That's the end of Matrix 4.
Everyone loses if that happens.
You know they're going to try to do more.
I hope not. Like, if I could go, like, if you could go back, I almost wish they wouldn't have made a second and third one.
Oh, I agree. 100%.
And just left the first one as, like, people wanting more.
Yeah. Yes. The first one, the end of it was great.
Right, and then just have, like, because you know it would always be brought up. And then all of them could just be like, well, it ended how we wanted it to end. We don't want to ruin that.
Like, what do you even remember from the second one? You usually either say...
The twins.
The ghost twins, white dudes with dreadlocks.
Which was weird.
They were weird. They grew on me. But at first, they're weird. You think of, what's his name's wife? Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah.
Showing up, because she was such a known name, it kind of, like, was awkward.
Right,
like,
that thing that Will Smith was supposed to play, like, the Neo part.
Right.
Ugh.
I just would love to see a take like that, just to see.
And then, like... The playground scene.
Right.
Where he fights the first swarm. Like, holy shit, there's so many Hugo Weavings.
Which is just, like, a great idea in general. More Hugo Weavings, please.
That movie is so bad watching it now.
I'm sure it doesn't hold up the same. But you gotta kind of, like, look at it a certain way, you know? It was so important for its time.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess...
But every time I say that to Max, he's like, well, you know, Jurassic Park came out in 1993, and that looked pretty damn amazing. I'm like, shut up, Max. I love Max.
The Matrix, the Matrix 1 looked really good, like, all the stuff that they did in that.
Well, a lot of the second one, I think, it was just dudes with Hugo Weaving masks on that they animated over.
Yeah.
That sounds so difficult. I feel so bad for anyone working on these movies.
Right.
That sounds like a nightmare. They're like, I don't ever want to see Hugo Weaving
again. Copy, paste. Copy, paste.
Copy,
paste.
So in a different vein for, like, movies, did either of you watch the Wonder Woman trailer?
I did.
Yes.
What did you think?
In general, I liked it. It felt like it was 1984 enough for me. It didn't give me a sense of the bigger plot, and that's probably a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
It was very loose. There's things I don't get, which is important. It had me asking questions. It didn't feel like it showed me the end of the movie in it, so...
Right, like, how is Chris Pine still around?
Correct. That's the big glaring one.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just her having a mental breakdown. That'd be great. It's not gonna be that. He's totally there.
Yeah.
It showed action. It showed comedy. Seems like a good idea. It has to be good. It has to be. Because they're starting to... DC, whether you love them or not, like, Aquaman was a step in the right direction.
I know
you don't like it. Yeah. It's a step in the right direction. Shazam is a bigger step in the right direction. Wonder Woman was good. The sequel, you want to be good as well.
Right.
So you have at least a hopefully trilogy of movies that you can say you enjoyed from DC. They just feel like they're chaotic, and it's like, don't even emotionally invest in them.
Right. The time wasn't spent to build those characters properly.
Right.
Because they all got thrown at us in, the second movie?
Yeah, it was dumb. And that was a bad movie.
So here's everyone.
Thanks.
Right.
And just a reminder, there's more lovable versions of them on free TV.
Right. Yeah, you can see all of these characters on CW, and you'll enjoy it a lot more.
Fact.
I am really starting to feel like the burnout on all of the superhero stuff, though.
Yes. Yes, I definitely feel the burnout.
You feel it now? It's been like, what, 12 years?
Yeah, but it's since like the Endgame thing. Because like there was so much, like I was so invested in everything Marvel was putting out. Because it was all building towards this one thing. Now that that's ended, it's like, yeah, like I feel almost done.
Well, you could be. And it's you fighting with the urge to jump off and not have to deal with it. And I kind of feel the same way. Like, I would love to just wait for Moon Knight, watch Moon Knight and be happy. Or watch these movies individually and not care about how they tie in.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to hear about it. I work in a comic book store, so I can't avoid it. It's a comic. This is usually a comic book podcast, so it's like, you know.
It's all going to get spoiled for you anyway.
Within a day. Everybody's awful, by the way.
And, like, there's parts of the Black Widow trailer that looked interesting.
Yeah, that looked like fun.
But, like, I'm not so, like, invested in it.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's the kind of movie that'll probably be amazing.
Right.
Because it's not giving you these crazy expectations. It doesn't tie in, obviously, to a bigger
thread of movies. Right, because it's a prequel.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say it doesn't do something big or be important, but...
Right. I just had a thought, because, like, the only way, like, that the new Black Widow movie would be mind-blowing is if, like, it gave you a whole different perspective on the Endgame storyline.
It's supposed to take place right after Winter Soldier or Civil War.
I thought it was Civil War.
Yeah, so it's like right after Civil War.
Because she would have been on the outs with the other heroes.
Right.
For letting them all get out of the hangar.
Right, so it's before Infinity War and after Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be in that time frame.
Maybe she has some information that she doesn't act upon and that does something terrible. Or maybe she secretly helps something along.
Right.
And then it becomes something bigger later. They do things like that. Right. Like, if you read the comics...
She's a spy.
Right.
And she can keep a secret.
Absolutely. From everyone. If you read Secret Invasion in the comics, Deadpool is a huge part of that. And they just gloss right over that. And it was actually one of the few Deadpool runs I would actually recommend to read. Nick Fury sends Deadpool to steal something from the Skrulls, and it ends up being the MacGuffin that takes them down at the end of the storyline. Spoilers. We're not all Skrulls, apparently. I might be a Skrull. So, it's just interesting what they touch upon and what they let go, but they could absolutely do something like that. Like, does something that leads to a weapon that's important. It's probably going to be in this new phase, though. It's like...
Right. Like, I'm interested in the Doctor Strange movie with how they're going to...
Horror.
And how it's going to rewrite everything. Like, making Scarlet Witch actually Scarlet Witch.
That would be good. I mean, I don't dislike her now.
Right.
But Scarlet Witch in the comics is a very polarizing character. She's super strong.
And that's what they're doing with her.
And she's definitely mental health issues from many awful things in her life, so... Yeah. Scarlet Witch, when done right, is one of the best characters. For sure.
So, yeah, there's just, like, I'm really looking forward to the new Thor movie. Just see how they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for most of the other part, it's like... I don't know how I feel about it.
It'll be interesting. It's gonna hinge a lot, I think, on Disney Plus and how the shows tie into the movies.
But do I want to get invested in more shows, like... See, we've been watching Mandalorian, and, like,
right.
I'm not all about it.
Okay.
Like, I think it's, like, a 6 out of 10.
So it's worth watching, but you're
it's
not
fine,
clamoring?
But, like, I don't think it's as great as everyone's saying it is.
Right. But you're not as big a Star Wars guy as you are a Marvel guy.
Right. But, like, I don't even know how excited I am for the Marvel shows coming out.
See, I'm having a hard time gauging because I got Moon Knight on the docket.
Right, but, like, what do we know about Moon Knight? Like,
the only announcement they've made is he's likely to show up in Blade.
Okay, so, like, if they, for whatever reason, cast, like, Chris Kattan to play Moon Knight.
Let's do it! Let's
but, like,
do it!
Is there someone they could cast that would just be like, you're done? Like, you're out?
Nicolas Cage. I don't know.
That would be tough to come back from. But... I never say never anymore, just because I always think certain actors that I would never have thought have done amazing roles. What's his name? The dude from Drive. Pretty boy.
Ryan Gosling.
Oh,
Ryan Gosling was amazing in Drive, and he hadn't really done movies like that. There's all kinds of examples like that, and I'm just like, I gotta give it at least the try before I damn them to hell. Now, if they fuck it up, yeah, to hell with them. Right. I don't care. And I actually want somebody like a Ryan Gosling to be cast as Moon Knight. Because I want it to be this easily appealing specimen of man, I guess. Because right. Moon Knight gets real grungy. He's supposed to be pretty boy in a degree. Because he's like a millionaire and one of his personalities. So he's supposed to be like a big shot. So being a sexy kind of dude would play up good. You just give him a scruffy beard when he's everyone else.
You know who'll be good is the which that their characters have several last names. The guy that played the spirit,
but Gabriel Macht.
Gabriel Macht.
Man, no one knows his name, and we both know it.
I love Suits.
High five! I like Suits.
He played Harvey Specter.
Yeah.
In Suits.
He is a very good actor.
Yes.
And he could do it. He's
like, yeah, he's like oozing with the, you know, like
machismo.
Or
charisma, like
definitely the charisma. He is a good-looking dude. You know, he could pull that off. So Suits is great.
I love that show.
Yeah.
I took the season off that when Mike and Rachel left and they brought in Katherine Heigl,
because
I'm morally opposed to her being on anything.
Okay.
She's the worst.
I thought Jenny McCarthy was the worst.
She's awful too, but she's on less things.
She's on The Masked Singer, and I keep watching that.
I've never watched that.
Can I tell you how much I love that show?
Everyone I work with loves it.
So it's just a guessing game, and they're terrible. They are awful. The judges, for the most part.
She's an idiot.
She's very dumb. She's super dumb. I don't like her at all. But like, you know, everybody has a role. Ken Jeong is the silly dude who makes really bad guesses on purpose. And Robin Thicke knows a lot about range. And What's-Her-Ass from the Pussycat Dolls is pretty good at noticing range and whatnot. Jenny McCarthy's just there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so much fun when you don't know who these people are. And then you find out these people can actually sing, because it's not all singers. It's right. Like actors and comedians, and a lot of them have ties to the people, and they don't even know it's them. It's a lot of fun. And the second season, they're up to the finale now, as of this recording, and they've eliminated it to three people. And I love the mix of people they had on this time. I guess one.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's got to be this person.
I've seen, like, a couple clips, and, like, one of them is, like, it's glaringly obvious who it is.
Uh-huh.
Like, how do you, like, not know who this is? Like,
But then they give them clues every time.
Like, but who's, like, or what are the people, things, still on it?
So, on this season, season two, I guess this would be a spoiler. So, spoiler warning, if you're watching The Masked Singer and you're not caught up, I'm telling you who's in the finals. So, skip ahead, like, 10 minutes to be safe. So, the final three is the Flamingo, the Rottweiler, and the Fox.
Okay. How do you not know who the Fox is?
So,
like, how do you, like, how
well,
is
who
that
do you think it is?
Because if I think of it,
it's one of two people, in my opinion.
One of two people?
Yes.
Who?
Well, who do you think it is?
I'm hoping I'm thinking of the right person.
Okay.
Or the right singer. I mean, like, it's definitely Seal. Like, 100%.
All right, spoiler warnings.
Or am I thinking of the wrong person?
You're thinking of the wrong person.
Oh, it's the wrong person? Okay.
The Leopard.
The Leopard was Seal, 100%.
That was the one I knew. Because you heard him sing, but all the clues made you think it wasn't him, and he didn't act like Seal. He was pretending he was effeminate. He was trying to hit on Nick Cannon. He was doing things like that to throw you off. But like, I listened to it, and day one, I'm like, is it just Seal? Could they get Seal on this dumb show? he just did it because his kids love the show. But I was just like, yeah.
How do you kick off Seal?
He made it. He lost in the semifinals.
Oh.
He beat, more spoiler warning. So we still going? It's not been 10 minutes. He beat Patti LaBelle, actually. Which I was like, holy shit.
Oh,
how do you get Patti LaBelle on? Like, it was clearly, it's like one of like three major old-timey kind of.
Didn't she get kicked out early?
Like midway, yeah. And she did not pick a good song. And it was 1-on-1, and he beat her. He picked a good song. He crushed her. He really did. I like it, but the Fox is, everybody thinks it's Jamie Foxx, and it kind of sounds like Jamie Foxx, and it's a Fox, and he has a show on Fox, it's like everything is Fox.
Well, that's what I was going to say, from my coworkers talking, they're all sure that the Fox is Jamie
Foxx. It's not. I don't think so. I think it's Wayne Brady.
Oh.
He can really sing.
He can really sing. And the
Rottweiler. CBS. I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Okay.
The Rottweiler's really throwing me off. I kind of think it's Weird Al, because he can sing anything. I just have a feeling.
I don't know. I'd have to listen to it.
The Flamingo, I think they're close. They think it's one of the Cheetah Girls, and I don't know the Cheetah Girls, but that sounds right, so I'll go with that.
I don't know who the Cheetah Girls are.
It was, what, Raven Simone and four other girls or something back in the day?
I don't know. It was, yeah, some girl group.
Yeah.
Okay.
I never paid attention to.
Well, you remember how there was like a million boy bands?
Uh-huh.
They right. tried a bunch of girl groups too. Right. And then these were like the low, not low, I don't want to say low rent. That sounds awful. Holy shit. No, they were like tied to like a TV show. Gotcha. Like Disney made them kind of thing. There was a bunch like that. Where it's like, oh, that kid can sing. Like Zendaya so came out of Disney. Like
you're Hillary Duff.
Nobody took her serious until way later when she proved herself kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Hillary that Duff kind of had a show, right? And a singing career.
Who?
Hillary Duff. I think she did.
She tried.
Yeah. I mean, one of the better examples is Miley Cyrus.
Okay. Wait, she can sing?
She has a range. But yeah, the show's dumb and I love it. I love everything about it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
That's why I watch Curse of Oak Island.
There you go.
It's dumb, but I have fun watching it.
You know what I have? One of my other favorite dumb things to watch? Guy Fieri's Supermarket Whatever the Fuck. Have you seen this show?
I've seen episodes.
Yeah, it's
on. Is it like Supermarket?
It feels like Supermarket Sweep.
Sweep?
Yes.
But they have to cook something, right?
Yes. So, it's on Hulu if anybody wants to watch it, and they have Hulu. It's basically you get a bunch of people who are good chefs, and then you play games, and you have to abide by the rules. So, like, one of them, one of the harder games is you have to make a meal. It has to be X type of meal. And he has a bag with the letters of the alphabet. He pulls out one letter. Everything has to start with that letter that you're making. And then he pulls out one more, and you're allowed to have one ingredient with that other letter.
On a side note, can we talk about how great Supermarket Sweep was?
I loved Supermarket Sweep. Not as much for Shop Till You Drop or whatever the
sequel. I loved Shop Till You Drop right. also.
It's more fun to watch
run up the steps.
It's like fall.
Right.
You know what? There is something to be said to watch it now. And try to think in terms of like mid-90s. Like, oh man, how much is a VCR? Like, I don't know.
Like, yeah, I used to watch that with my mom. It's like,
I think everybody watched it with their mom. Hi, mom!
Those shows were great.
When you just need to relax. Something where there's low stakes and it's just fun.
We, oh god. When I was like 12 or 13, at that point my dad worked on...
You were 12 and a half.
My dad worked on second shift, so it was like 3:30 to 11:30. Mm-hmm. We'd get him to like midnight sometimes. And we'd watch the show on the Game Show Network where you could call in
okay.
to mm-hmm. try and like win prizes.
I remember right. that.
Or like email in or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like me and my mom used to watch that every night just waiting for my dad to get home because it was like ridiculous.
Right.
It's like some of the games, like, it was like be trivia questions or you had to figure out the order to things and like the first person to call in, you'd win like $50.
That's awesome.
I don't remember what it was called though.
It was like, yeah, it was one of those shows that was on late at night.
Yeah.
You called in to
it. We'd watch that and the
original... How many times did you call in?
We'd only call in if we were sure of an answer.
Okay.
So I think we called in like two or three times, but we never got through.
Fair.
And we also watched, and this is a callback to earlier in the episode that you're listening to right now, is we also watched Japanese Iron Chef.
Yeah.
Because it was mm-hmm. so ridiculous, but yeah. so much fun. And like the shit that they'd cook, where they'd be like, who actually eats that?
Right. You'd wonder, like, is that actually good?
Right.
I'll tell you, this whiskey's really good, Cliff.
It is, right?
Yeah.
And this changes.
Yeah.
The as it sits out.
Yeah. No, I'm taking my time with this. This is good. Good sipping whiskey.
Yeah, you do not want to
chug it.
No.
Oh my god.
You'd be wasting it.
Oh man. You know, we didn't talk about any comic books so far. That's hilarious.
We've talked about comic book related things.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I don't give a shit. This podcast is the ultimate no format, so.
For people wondering, the whiskey Tim is drinking is Lock, Stock, and Barrel 18-year-old rye. You're going to have to get the liquor store to order it for you. Be prepared for the price.
It's worth it.
It's so
good. Treat yourself. Treat yourself. We'll get that sponsorship. We're not getting that sponsorship.
No.
I'll ask politely.
Please.
Please and thank you. Shout Factory. I'm still trying to get Shout Factory. That's the one me and Max are always after.
What is that?
They make DVDs. They started doing a lot of like older shows. They'd redo them and put them on like nice versions on DVD and Blu-ray.
Okay.
Then they did a bunch of horror. I think that's why Max loves them so much.
Gotcha.
But they do a good job on their DVD compilations or whatever. I think they did my He-Man She-Ra Christmas special, which is fantastic and was watched again this year. I watch it every year, usually pretty drunk. A Wrapped Presents the other day, also really drunk. It was good. Maybe got it right. Maybe you're opening the right gift. I literally just took scraps of like 50 different papers and just put them on one gift. And my wife goes, "What are you doing?" I go, "My nephew needs to learn this can happen." And it was a big box this gift was in. And I'm just like, yes, he needs to learn about the Uncle Tim special.
I once got a very large box for Christmas for my grandparents.
Yep.
And they taped an envelope to the inside of it.
Yes.
Because I used to like to figure out what was in my gifts. You cannot figure out what is inside a 3-foot by 3-foot box with nothing in it.
Yep. Yeah, I remember my father bought for my mother some gift. She wanted a larger either appliance or something. Like, she wanted, like, we need a new washer badly. And he's like, no, it's fine. And then he buys her one kind of thing. But I remember he put, her last gift was a giant refrigerator box full of all kinds of dumb shit. The only gift in there was a pair of socks. Mm-hmm. And when she got to the socks, she goes, "Are you fucking serious?" Because why wouldn't she think that? And he goes, "Oh, I'm just kidding. Your gift's out here." And it was like the washer was set up or something. It was pretty funny. But I'm like, God, that's brutal.
Yeah.
That's my dad for you. He's a good guy.
Since we're around Christmas time now, can we talk about how ridiculous those car commercials are where the husband buys his wife a car for Christmas?
Who does that?
Like, hey, here you go. You're going to have to pick up some extra shifts to cover this $50,000 in debt I just put us, but here's the keys.
They should just have the husband wear like a monocle and top hat so we don't feel so bad about it.
Right. But they try and set him up as like, I guess, upper middle class because there wasn't like a nicer house.
Sure.
But it's like, I have a feeling like you'd be really pissed off at me if for Christmas I was like, here's a $35,000 car.
Like, can we afford this?
Right.
Right. There's more questions than, like, you're more scared probably initially than excited.
Right.
You can be talked into excited, but it's not a guarantee off the bat.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's just irresponsible.
Yeah. And even like,
it's like getting a puppy for Christmas.
Sure.
Like, you have to be 100% sure that's what you want.
Here's a lot of responsibility.
Man, I want a puppy. What's the over under on me ending up with this stupid cat? My wife was bitching about it today. She's like, that stupid cat just lays in the middle of the way and just doesn't move and blah, blah, blah.
It's a cat.
Nine out of 17.
Whoa.
So just over 50% of the time?
Like a smidge. Like, is it 51%? Is that the fraction?
I'm going, they're like 10 to 1 odds that you get this cat at some point. Yeah.
All right. I like the cat.
I have no issues with cats.
I don't either.
Like, I guess I can understand people that aren't big cat people because, like, they want a dog because they want to be, like, to wrestle with the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cat will just mess you up.
Right, but, like, some cats, you know, you get a little tension, but they take care of themselves. You can still go do stuff.
Right, they're a cat. They're fine. Yeah, they don't need me.
Dogs are just always, like, babies at all times.
Yeah, they're adorable. I want one.
Well, right. But, like, you can't spend the day out if you have a dog. With a cat, you can even spend, like, a night away. It'll be fine. It'll be happy that you're gone.
My oldest dog, who is 14, 15, I don't know, that dog's old as shit. But, like, he has been so needy as of late. He's been, like, sleeping on my head. I'm like, what are you doing? You're an old man. Don't sleep on my head. Like, it's, what am I dealing with here? That's my story.
my cat got that way when he got way old. Like, he just, like, became more of a lap cat.
I'd always joke, because, like, whenever I'd come down to your house, you're talking about Pumpkin, I would assume, I'd sit on her couch, and, like, I'd put my one leg up, and the cat would be, like, in another room, not anywhere where it can see me. And then a minute later, there's Pumpkin walking across the living room floor, like, trying to, like, sneak up in the middle of the room. Like, there's a lap. I sensed it. I need to be in it. Like, or he'd come down from, like, upstairs. Like, there's a lap in the force. And he'd come downstairs and, like...
I feel like laps are very underrated. us as a society, we need to adopt laps a lot better.
But then you have, like...
Well, not without a lawsuit.
Well, that's the problem. Genitals are too close to laps. That's the problem. But if you could just, like... Cliff, if I just sat here... And in a non-sexual way, you just laid your head on my thigh. Wouldn't that be comfy? Look at these thighs. You'd be out.
It depends on, like, the height where my body is. Because sometimes you can end up with your neck, like,
kinked. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, your neck might hurt afterwards, but...
That's for a different reason.
Oh, no. No, that's why you need an eye patch, buddy. When did we get so sexual as a society? Why can't we just put our heads on some other dude's lap? That's what I'm saying.
I was talking... Oh, God, this is going to end up going down a rabbit hole.
Yes.
I saw an article online, like, a month ago, and I told Olivia about it. There's a lady that's being sued by her husband's ex-wife.
Sure.
Because her stepchildren, it's her husband's and his ex-wife's children, saw her topless in her own bedroom.
What?
Yeah, and she may end up on the sex offender list.
What?
Yeah, so the kids bust into her bedroom, and she had no shirt on.
Sure.
And they told their biological mother, and she freaked out, and they've reported it, and this woman is fighting to not be listed as a sex offender.
That's insanity.
Yeah, her children saw her topless in her own home, bedroom.
That's so vindictive. My brain goes to, was this woman wronged and that's why this relationship ended? And she's just like, I'll get that bitch any way I can.
Right, but that's ridiculous. That's, ridiculous.
Oh, it's very ridiculous. And that's the kind of thing, you're going to lose so much money just fighting this. But you have to fight it, because not fighting it, way worse for you.
Right, but then I brought up to the point where it's an issue with, our culture. Because, if you watch TV in Europe... Nudity's there,
but
people getting murdered is a big deal, on TV. But here, you can't watch a show without somebody getting murdered.
Yeah, so I bring it to you, Hollywood. Can we have less people being murdered and just every other episode just has, a penis randomly? I mean, we see boobs and vaginas way more, so can we just have, a penis in the background, chilling?
Of all shapes and sizes.
Yeah, no. Please, tinier? Can we skew tinier? Don't need Mandingo scaring me off in the corner, you know what I'm saying?
Like a ball sack just hanging
just
out.
Just a ball sack, just a little...
a back shot with just a sagging ball sack.
Just a saggy... that's really just the description of our lives, isn't it? Just a saggy, tired, old, run-down ball sack. Way lower than the other. That's what we need, Hollywood. I pose this question to you.
You know, there's a genetic reason why one hangs lower than the other.
Is there?
Yeah.
Why?
Because if they were parallel, or next to each other, they bump into each other all the time.
Like the little clacky thing?
Uh-huh. That's why one's lower.
So that Okay, that makes perfect sense, but how do you decide which one goes lower?
They decide.
They decide?
By themselves.
I don't have that kind of power. Yeah. They've taken my power away from me.
Yeah, they chose which one's lower.
I wish they could alternate. I wish one could go back up and one could fall back down. And
just so that other one could see what it's like to be the low one?
Well, it's just for variety's sake. Right? Why can't they switch? Same amount of space being taken up.
I don't know.
You'll have to ask science, them. Science, get on this. Hollywood, get on this.
You'll have to ask them when you get home.
We're going to have a long discussion. That could mean anything.
Right.
It probably means what you think. This has never gotten on the rails. That's what I like about this podcast. Never once did we get on the rails, try as we might.
We got close to them.
We got close. We're like, is that a rail over yonder?
I'm like, oh yeah, comics. Wait,
you have a comic. Would you like to talk about it?
I don't know. Is it time to run us down? Are we reaching the end?
I don't know. That's up to you.
Oh, that's true. Well, I do have a comic.
I got a terabyte of hard drive space left.
This is the longest episode. It's happening. All right, I got a book. It's a number one. It's called Over the Ropes by Mad Cave Studios. Yay! It's about wrestling!
Woo!
It's a wrestle book.
More wrestling.
So we should go see wrestling.
I want to see wrestling.
There's a show.
Right after Christmas.
Yep.
So many. Oh yeah, the one the dog pro wrestling. Hi, dog. He'll be there. Chris Steeler.
Awesome.
He will be defending a championship, not the dog championship, but he has a championship. I'm gonna try to interview the dog guy, Dr. What was it? Zirconium. He had a name. Zirconium. I'm not breaking kayfabe. That's his name. And I saw him the other day. He was hanging up the posters. He's such a sweet man. But Chris Steeler will be there. It's a huge charity event as well. Toys for Tots, soup kitchen kind of stuff as well. So go to Glassboro and the Max Fit Center and see some wrestles. And support a charity or support a wrestler. It's kind of like charity. Great.
You might see us in real life.
Whoa, and we could pull out a microphone and discuss.
Yeah.
And you'll be on the podcast. Wouldn't that be nice? This is, I believe, a mini-series, at least to start off. There are 5 stars and only one is colored in, so I assume that's how you know what issue
number it is. It's one-star wrestling.
Oh, one-star wrestling! So the guys at Mad Cave Studios are pretty cool. I was talking to them in New York. They're nice dudes, and I enjoy their books. They're kind of giving you a good variety on their titles. Like, they did Battle Cats. They did Midnight something, something, something. That book was okay. And, God, I can't think of all the names now. Of course I can't. But basically, this is the story. It's 1992-ish, and you're following Jobber Phoenix. His name is Phoenix. And he is the guy who looks like he is King Diamond on the cover. And the older veteran is going to drop the title to his son. And his son ends up getting beat up. And they have to change the plans. He goes, you're going to wrestle me for the title, and I'm going to drop it to you. And he's like, I'm a jobber. How great. Then he, and this is like a whole spoiler for issue one, because if I don't tell you the spoilers, it won't sound as interesting. Mm-hmm. It'll just be like, that's a lot of setup. And it's like, well, no, it gets somewhere. He wants to drop the belt to him. And keep in mind, 90s, so it's not quite this high-flying stuff, even though they mentioned luchadors in Mexico and stuff. It is more your... Just picture Lex Luger and Sting in a lockup the whole time. So, basically, what he is doing is he's going to drop the belt to him, but he's going to pretend he's his son on the tour, because they're just traveling around. And then his son, when he's better, will take the belt back and be himself. Mm-hmm. So, spoiler, Phoenix decides, fuck that noise. I'm just going to go into business for myself, which is a huge no-no in wrestling. So he goes out there. The old veteran drops the belt to him, even though he's Phoenix and not the other guy, because he kind of corners him. And he's like, fuck it, I'll drop the belt to you. And as he's holding his hand up high, he goes, you realize what you just did, the position you put me in. You just went into business for yourself. Like, it's very wrestle terms are like in here. It's kind of a drama. With wrestling, I kind of enjoy that. So this issue kind of ends with them phoning ahead to the next town on the tour, like, and it's clearly Memphis because the dude looks a lot like an Elvis impersonator kind of thing. And he's mm-hmm. like, "Oh yeah, we'll fucking destroy this guy for you." They're like, "No, you don't have to pin him. We want him to keep going on the tour. Just fuck him up." And I'm like, "That is great." So I'm interested to see where it goes. I mean, I bought it just because it's wrestling, but it was so much better than it had any right to be. And Mad Cave are just good dudes. So Mad Cave Studios, check them out. I enjoyed the book. It gets like a 4 out of 5.
Cool.
That's like an 8 out of 10.
It's like an 8 out of 10. There's room for growth. It could go either way. Issue 1 could be an 8 out of 10. Issue 2 could be a 1 out of 10. I don't know, but we'll see. The setup is strong.
Oh, you said you didn't watch TLC, right?
I did not watch TLC.
So I watched after the TLC thing.
And we're talking about wrestling, not the...
Waterfall.
Or that.
What is it? The stone, the broken skull, stone cold chit chat.
Broken skull
sessions. Because it's Broken Skull Ranch. Hey, Stone Cold, good on you for creating an empire out of just like skulls. Good job.
So I watched that because it was Goldberg.
Did you talk about Matt Riddle?
No.
Dang.
It stops at him dropping the belt to Brock.
Okay.
But it's kind of interesting, like, listening to Goldberg talk about a lot of stuff, and, like, him and Stone Cold are apparently really good friends.
Okay.
And, like, how, for some reason, they get confused for each other.
I mean, bald guy with goatee is about
right,
it.
Right, they're
but, like,
both
they
bald.
Put up, like, the side-by-side, like, when they're, like, 1997, when Goldberg debuted, 96, 97.
They're about 6'7".
And Goldberg's 315, and Stone Cold's, like, 245.
Easily. Yeah, there's easily about 80 pounds between them.
Yeah, and
easily.
He's like, and Stone Cold's like, I don't know how people got us confused. And, like, they put the picture up of the two of them. He's like, and Goldberg's like, besides both of us being bald, I don't know what the... It was interesting listening to him talk about how, like, because wrestling isn't his life.
Right.
Like, not his business. Football is his thing, so he was just always there.
Right.
So it was kind of interesting, like, listening to him talk about things and, like, the holdout. Right. And then, like, that... WrestleMania 20.
That awful match with Brock.
Yeah, and he's like, they show like clips from it, and Goldberg's like, I was concerned Brock was gonna get really pissed off about this and hurt me.
Yeah, that's the right reaction.
Right.
Correct.
And like, Goldberg's not a tiny dude. Like,
no.
He and Brock at that point are the same size.
Right.
Or he's
but Brock
even...
was more of a wild card then.
Right, than Goldberg was.
Like, yeah, he's still going to hurt you today, but you know he's going to do it today.
Right. But, and then just pacing. And Goldberg was like, I was trying to keep Brock engaged. Like, forget about them. And, like, they show it. And Goldberg's like, yeah, I just shouted at him, fuck those people. Fuck the audience. Let's just do this. Fuck them. And, like, just that's what he's screaming across the ring at mm-hmm. Brock to try and keep him
Yeah.
Like, with him. Like, just to do the job. And Stone Cold, as they're certainly, he was saying that he had a match in, like, 92 where it was a rumble that had gone wrong.
Okay.
And the crowd had turned, and Bobby Eaton just started running the ropes.
That's fantastic.
Back and forth. Just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until somebody tripped him over. And, like, the crowd went nuts because why is this guy just running the ropes? And Stone Cold said he's lying on the side of the ring because he'd been eliminated. And there's Bobby Eaton. He's like, Bobby, what the fuck were you doing? I don't know. We were losing the crowd, and I thought it'd just be a good idea to run the ropes.
So, good old Bobby Eaton.
So Austin was like, I was so close to just starting to run the ropes while you guys are standing there staring at each other because the crowd would have gone nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, but I wanted to see if you guys could figure out what you needed to do.
Right.
And he's like, I have no issues with either of you guys. It was just a really shitty situation. You were both on your way out. Everyone knew you were on your way out. Mm-hmm. So why should anyone care?
Right.
But yeah, I would give it a watch. It's pretty interesting.
I always like behind-the-scenes stuff like that. I love shoot interviews, but I always wonder who's going into business for themselves and just talking shit on people and making up lies.
Yeah.
But I love it anyways. I just like hearing, because you hear more truth than lies out of that. You hear the behind-the-scenes. You hear how things are going. I just watched, like, a two-hour thing on YouTube. It was Nova, who was Simon Dean in WWE, the fitness guy. And I could not stand him. I love him. Love him.
That character I couldn't stand.
Right, no. Well, he's like a bank guy. He's in banking. He used to be around here. I think now he's moved elsewhere. But, like, he was very big behind-the-scenes guy after Simon Dean kind of fizzled out. He ran OVW, so I got all the behind-the-scenes. He's like, yeah, Batista was coming up. Like, you hear about rookie Batista, rookie Cena. So all these really cool stories came out of that. So even if he lied on it, which I don't feel he did, but if he did, I still got all these great stories about people coming up and kind of behind-the-scenes stuff. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Because, like, Heyman seems to do a lot of them when he does interviews, but, like, Heyman's so good at talking.
Heyman's the best.
You never know what is...
Well, he's always bringing you back to whatever he's trying to sell.
Right.
Yeah. And you know that with
him. So, like, the one he was talking about, Goldberg's return.
Right.
And, like, squashing Brock. And, like, that got brought up in the thing. So, like, it kind of confirmed what he was saying. He's like, you know, it's like the grizzled vet coming back for, like, one last run. It's like Goldberg's talking about how when he came out, he just stood there for a while because it was the first time he'd ever, like, taken it all in.
Sure, because he was doing his thing back then. He didn't really enjoy it, I'm sure. Right.
He was, like, taking it all in and was just, like, there, like, a little overwhelmed and, like, wearing the jacket so you couldn't see that he wasn't huge. He's like, because I can't get that big.
Again, yeah.
And he's like, it was all a part of the plan that they had. He still comes in, still looks fucking intense, and looks like he could run you over, but it might take a little more effort. He's like, but there's always that shadow, bit of a doubt that he put in there, because, like, his family's there. Is he going to be able to do it?
Right.
And that kind of, like, set everything up right for that, like, run. Like, it sucks that Kevin got squashed.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the run that followed it was great. Like, the, 6 months Goldberg was back were fantastic.
And everybody wanted that change. Everybody needed that change.
Yeah.
That's why The Fiend is over now, even though, like, I think The Fiend is good. But, like,
they're trying to ruin him so hard.
There's so many question marks around it. And the fact that it's been this long with this many question marks is a big deal. Like, at TLC, he wrestled as his alter ego, so to speak.
Which I think is great.
And I do also think it's great. But why did it take so long for us to understand that was a possibility? Like, he had said it, but, like, and because he has the help and hurt written on his hands. Yeah. And it's like, when is help ever going to come into play?
Right. Is that going to be, like, in a match where he rips the mask off? Because the help glove overtook, and Bray shows up and loses?
Right, and this gives you an out, because you book him so incredibly strong. I've never seen anybody build this strong.
And they buried Seth. I don't like Seth, but, like...
They ruined Seth because of it.
But they shouldn't... Somebody should not hit, 38,000 finishers.
Seth should go away for a while and come back.
Yeah.
For sure.
He's with the AOP now.
And he's going to take them down with him. He should just go away for a while.
Everyone, like, watching SmackDown and last night, everyone loves Roman right now.
It's weird, right?
But he went away, and, like, when he came back, granted, everyone's just happy he's still alive.
Right, absolutely.
But, like, he's away from the title scene.
He hasn't been put back in it, really,
at all. He hasn't been anywhere near it. He hasn't been anywhere near any belt. Yep. So, like, it's not like, oh, they're just ramming him down our throat again. He isn't even prominent on the shows when he's on there.
Right.
So it's like, why not like him? He's a good wrestler.
He is.
Like, his moveset's cool. Like,
power moves.
Yeah.
That's what he needs to be. He can run a little bit, but mostly power moves.
And with the big splash over the top rope always blows me away.
Yeah, because he's such a big dude, man. For him to do that.
Yeah.
The way he does it. Because he gets some height.
Yeah.
He clears them ropes pretty good. A lot of wrestlers left. The Luke Harper got his release. The Ascension got released. Sin Cara already showed up in AAA.
Yeah, he's definitely going to get in trouble for that.
Is he?
Yeah, because he had a 90-day no-compete.
Was it televised? I can't remember. If it's not televised, he might be okay.
I think he might still wrestled as Sin Cara.
So does he have some rights to Sin Cara?
No.
Oh, well then, yeah, he's screwed.
Yeah, because I watch Cultaholic and What Culture, like, the rest of the guys, and, like, they talk about it. And, some of the other people, like, have posted, it seems like if WWE wants to ram this down Sin Cara's throat, he's in for a world of hurt.
Right. They might not care.
Right.
AAA is cool and all, but it is a completely different market.
But if with Sin Cara doing that, is this going to hurt other people's chances that they might have been thinking about releasing?
Yeah, it might.
Because he ruined it for everyone else?
Yep.
Like, I'm sure Luke Harper's glad to be done. Mm-hmm. He's going to spend his...
I love Luke Harper so much.
He's going to spend his 3 months hanging out, and he'll come back somewhere else and be over.
Yep, absolutely.
Poor Ascension. Like, they're going to go somewhere.
They're going to go be the biggest tag team in AEW. You watch. You watch it happen.
Yeah.
I want it to happen. So I have a problem with AEW's booking. It seems like everybody has about equal wins and losses. Everybody gets their win back.
It's all 50-50.
It's too 50-50.
Except for Jungle Boy. He's 0-10. Or like 1-9.
Good. That's a variety.
Right.
He's the one guy that's different outside of your champion.
Right.
That's going to be a problem going forward. They need to change that. Why did Kenny not stay on a losing streak so you could build him up to win your belt at a big event later?
And that's like the perfect story for him.
It's absolutely.
Because he was on top of the world in Japan.
The guy.
Right. He loses the belt. If just keep losing. Do the opposite of the Goldberg streak.
Yeah.
Just have him...
Kurt Hawkins it.
Right. Have him go 0-50. It doesn't matter. Have him lose ridiculously, like in like uncanny ways. Like somebody, I don't know, grabs his foot so he can't get back in the ring. He gets counted out. Have it be like all bullshit reasons why he's losing. Mm-hmm. And then like when he picks that win up, it's like, oh, I can do it. And then just have him go on the opposite streak. Never lose again.
Yeah, for a good long time. I think they're torn on who they want to build up. They're letting Hangman Page kind of slip down the card. They're not using Pac as much. They have Moxley doing kind of 50-50 as well. That's kind of surprising. So I don't know what they're trying to do.
Yeah, it's like they're not sure who they want where.
But it is such a good time for wrestling.
And their roster's not that big.
It's not.
Like, their women's division is not...
Their women's division is their worst division by far right now.
Yeah. Because it's what? Just Emi Sakura, the other girl that comes out dressed like a Japanese video game fighter character.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like five of them, maybe.
Right. Riho, who's the champ.
Yeah.
Nyla Rose,
yep.
And Awesome Kong? Yeah. Or is she...
Yeah, Kong's still there.
And Brandy, right? She does wrestle.
Yes, just not often anymore.
That's it.
I think there's just too many places for people to go. What I like that surprised me is NWA is doing well. The NWA did their pay-per-view, Into the Fire.
And Marty Scurll showed up.
Marty Scurll showed up a day after wrestling for Ring of Honor, which I loved. And that is huge. Marty Scurll is the best. When you can't get Will Ospreay, you get Marty Scurll.
They're talking about that's just like a pit stop before he hits AEW.
I mean, maybe, but good.
Just because he's friends with all of the...
But why not? He should actually stay at NWA for a cup of coffee, a little longer than a minute. He should. He should beat Aldis, because Nick Aldis has had that belt for a very long time.
Well, so the one thing I was watching said that they record like 3 or 4 months worth of shows in like 2 days.
Yes.
So like, he could do that and then just take those 3 or 4 months off.
And still, yeah, and their programming's raised and elevated because of it. He just tweets as if it's new.
Right.
That's what they all do. When I went to Ring of Honor, they recorded a month's worth in one show. That's so smart.
Yeah.
You know?
It's definitely like the NXT way it seemed to be. Because there's always the same people in the exact same seats.
Right.
Like they were definitely recording like a month's worth in a shot.
And why not?
Right.
Smart. Very smart. Wrestling's great, I guess, is the moral of this episode.
Which is weird because a lot of it's like tough to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like most of the WWE is rough.
The main card.
And like I'm not into AEW, and that's probably just because like I don't know who most of the people are.
It would take some time if you don't know the people. I know a lot of them just because I watched Ring of Honor a lot and New Japan, and that's most of them. But if you didn't watch that in the last like 2 or 3 years, they're just all nobodies to you. you know, outside of Sean Spears, who you right. know from NXT.
And it kind of feels WCW-y.
It does. They're very much doing but WCW formula. But not in,
like, a good way.
Hmm.
It feel like, to me, it feels like when Russo is definitely in charge.
Ooh. The New Blood era.
Like, a little bit like that.
Ooh. Well, I mean, they're still figuring it out. I hope it gets better, but it's got some issues. The wrestling's good. Across the board, the wrestling's yeah. good, but they need to figure something out.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm going to call it. I think that's it. I think we've rambled enough. I'm going to edit this down to be concise.
It's going to be two episodes.
Two episodes. Part one. Part two. Part five.
Okay, that could be.
I could put this in five parts if you like. I could. Well, thank you, everybody, for checking us out. Make sure you rate, review on iTunes. Give us a review. It would help us out tremendously, because then we could become Rotten Tomatoes reviewers, and then we can actually make a difference, people. We've gotten three reviews this week. That was nice. Can we keep it going, people, please? Give me a Christmas present of a review. 4 to 5 stars would be great. And thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.